Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
To serve the table. All rise for the king to serve the table and the knights of the round table.
Does the government work for us or do we work for the government? Tonight, what if the Constitution no longer applied? What if the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the government? What if Congress's enumerated powers in the Constitution no longer limited Congress, but were actually used as a justification to extend Congress's authority over every realm of human life? What if the president, meant to be an equal to Congress, has instead become a democratically elected, term-limited monarch? What if the president assumed that everything he did was legal just because he's the president? What if he could interrupt your regularly scheduled radio and TV programming for a special message from him? What if he could declare war on his own? What if he could read your emails and your texts without a search warrant? What if he could kill you without warning? What if Supreme Court justices no longer looked to the Constitution to determine the constitutionality of a law, but rather simply to what justices who preceded them thought about it? What if the rights and principles guaranteed in the Constitution have been so distorted in the past 200 years as to be unrecognizable by the founders? What if the 50 states were no longer sovereign entities, equals to each other, and parents of the federal government they voluntarily constituted? What if the states were mere provinces of a totally nationalized and fully centralized government? What if the Constitution was amended stealthily, not by constitutional amendments duly ratified by the states, but by the constant and persistent expansion of the federal government's role in our lives? What if the federal government decided if its own powers were proper and constitutional? What if the Constitution were no longer the supreme law of the land? What if you needed a license from the government to speak, to assemble, or to protest against the government? What if the government didn't like what you planned to say, and so it didn't give you the license? What if the right to keep and bear arms only applied to the government? What if posse comitatus, the federal law that prohibits our military from occupying our streets, were no longer in effect? What if the government considered the military an adequate dispenser of domestic law enforcement? What if cops looked and acted like troops and you couldn't distinguish the military from the police? What if you were not secure in your person, in your papers, and in your property? What if federal agents could write their own search warrants in defiance of the Constitution? What if the government could decide when you were and were not entitled to a jury trial? What if the government could take your property whenever it wanted? What if the government could continue prosecuting you until it got the verdict it wanted? What if the government could force you to testify against yourself simply by labeling you a domestic terrorist? What if the government could torture you until you said what the government wanted to hear? What if people running for president actually supported torture? What if the government tortured your children to get to you? What if government judges and government lawyers intimidated juries into convicting the innocent? What if the government could send you to your death and your innocence meant nothing so long as the government's procedures were followed? What if America's prison population, the largest in the world, was a cruel and unusual way for a country to be free? What if half the prison population never harmed anyone but themselves? What if the people had no rights except those the government chose to let them have? What if the states had no rights except to do as the federal government commanded? What if our elected officials didn't really live among us, but instead all had their hearts and homes in Washington, D.C.? What if the government could strip you of your rights because of where your mother was when you were born? What if the income tax was unconstitutional? What if the states were convinced to give up their representation in Congress? What if the government tried to ban you from using a substance in your body that is older than the government itself? What if voting didn't mean anything anymore because both political parties stand for big government? What if the government could write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event? The Constitution be damned. What if the government was the reason we don't have a Constitution anymore? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is next?
Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw my point of order and rise in opposition to the motion to recommit.
The reservation is withdrawn and the gentleman is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to talk for just a moment as colleagues, not as Republicans or Democrats, not as members of the majority or the minority, but colleagues who are blessed to serve in the United States House of Representatives, the People's House, with all the tradition, with all the history, with all the laws that have been passed, with all the lives that have been impacted. I want us to talk as colleagues because our foundational document gave us as the House unique powers and responsibilities. We run every 2 years because they intended for us to be closest to the people. The President was given different duties and powers. The President was given the duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what does that mean to you, that the laws be faithfully executed? We know the president can veto a bill for any reason or no reason. We know the president can refuse to defend the constitutionality of a statute, even one that he signs into law. We know the president can issue pardons for violations of the very laws that we pass. And we know that the president has prosecutorial discretion as evidenced and used through his U.S. attorneys. Mr. Speaker, that is a lot of power. What are we to do when that amount of power is not enough? What are we to do when this president or any president decides to selectively enforce a portion of a law and ignore other portions of that law? What do we do, Mr. Speaker, regardless of motivation, when a president nullifies our vote by failing to faithfully execute the law? How do we explain waivers and exemptions and delays in a bill passed by Congress and affirmed by the United States Supreme Court? How do we explain away a refusal to enforce mandatory minimums that were passed by Congress and affirmed by the Supreme Court? And why pursue, Mr. Speaker, immigration reform if presidents can turn off the very provisions that we passed? You know, in the oath that brand new citizens take, it contains 6 different references to the law. If it's good enough for us to ask brand new citizens to affirm their devotion to the law, is it too much to ask that the president do the same? If a president can change some laws, can he change all laws? Can he change election laws? Can he change discrimination laws? Are there any laws under your theory that he actually has to enforce? What is our recourse, Mr. Speaker? What is our remedy? Some would argue the framers gave us the power of the purse and the power of impeachment, but Mr. Speaker, those are punishments. Those are not remedies. What is the remedy if we want the executive to enforce our work? This bill simply gives us standing when our votes are nullified. This bill allows us to petition the judicial branch for an order requiring the executive branch to faithfully execute the law. Mr. Speaker, we are not held in high public esteem right now. Maybe members of Congress would be respected more if we respected ourselves enough to require that when we pass something, it be treated as law. Maybe we would be more respected if we had a firmly rooted expectation that when we pass something as law, it be treated as law. Maybe we would be more respected if we put down party labels and a desire to keep or retain or acquire gavels and picked up the history, the tradition, and the honor of this, the people's house. Mr. Speaker, the House of Representatives does not exist to pass suggestions. We do not exist to pass ideas. We make law. And while you are free to stand and clap when any president comes into this hallowed chamber and promises to do it with or without you, I will never stand and clap when any president, no matter whether he's your party or mine, promises to make us a constitutional anomaly and an afterthought. We make law.
Expired.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html page where you have access to three separate chat rooms all in one. So, with that said, I posted some links over in the Super Chat room, and displayed the podcast of those particular ones, and well, except for the one with Kennedy's speech, which was pretty amazing to hear back in the day before something terrible happened to him. And I didn't play Paul Harvey's If I Was the Devil, which sometimes I do because it's amazing what he said back in 1965 as opposed to what we're looking at here today. It's almost a prophetic view if you want to look at it that way. But regardless of all that, I'm not here to try to join all the churches together. I'm not here to try to join all the governments of the world together. My hopes is to try to join the people of the world together. Not under some one world religion or some one world flag or ideology or anything like that. Just under a simple common sense, we need to survive kind of thing. And do it as freely as possible and be able to enjoy life and pave the stones for the future of all of humanity. That sounds like an overwhelming task, especially whenever you listen to some of the things that comes out of the mouths of people out there that, you know, say they want freedom and they say they want truth. And as long as it's the truth that they want you to hear, then everything's fine. But if you buck the system, if you talk about your own personal spiritual beliefs, then things apparently go awry really quick. So, you know, with that said, there's a long, hard road ahead of humanity if we're ever to try to get things resolved in this world. You know, the Knights of the Round Table, this is 211 times the Knights come together. Sometimes it was just the old King Shaziz the Terrible, because the knights were out slaying dragons or living life or doing whatever. But nonetheless, 211 times the Knights of the Round Table come out there to talk to the people. Try to give them hope and peace and some love and that kind of stuff. It's been some ups and downs and some emotionals and some angers and frustrations and laughter and doing what families do kind of thing. And sometimes it gets to the point where you really get frustrated about the whole situation because it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to be enough. However, the messages are chiseled in stone. They're written out there on the walls of the big vast space that they call cyberspace. So maybe future generations can look back and they can listen in on the Knights of the Round Table to see what we were talking about in these days, and maybe they'll be proud that, you know, hey, there was somebody out there at least saying something. You know, trying to do something. Steer this boat into a different direction other than the one it's heading in. You know, some folks, and even some folks that's actually been on the Knights of the Round Table, have actually been so discouraged with life that they just don't, they don't even think it's possible. You know, they think that, you know, by talking, that you're not getting nothing done. All we do is talk, you know, we don't get nothing done. But I want to point you to one fact. This 2016 election cycle was something different than what all the prior ones have been throughout the history of the United States of America. Something different occurred. And it happened because people talked. It happened because people conveyed a message of urgency that the world that we live in around us was falling apart, and that the only ones who could actually resolve it was we the people. So regardless of whatever you think of the candidates that were presented to you, or whether you believe that your vote counted or didn't count, nonetheless, it doesn't matter. What matters in that whole entire deal was that those spoken words resonated throughout the entirety of the world, through the entirety of the United States. And your average Joe, people, we the people, came out in masses to vote for a candidate that appeared to at least not be part of the status quo, not be part of the system as we have been dealt with or whatever for, you know, the history of this nation. And when the mainstream media hated him, the people loved him more. When the government hated him, the people loved him more. And when the hardcore crazies on the left did everything they could to try to discourage and steal the election, somehow or another, enough people came out that it overrid all the election fraud and everything else. And the people loved him more. Now, I'm not saying that the country is going to be better off in the sense that we'll actually have a president that'll work for us. But what I am saying is that this time around, we the people literally beat the propagandists. We literally beat the machine because we heard those words, because we came to the front, because we actually went out to exercise our freedoms and voted. Now, there's going to be those out there naysayers that's going to disagree with everything I just said. That's fine. That's the kind of world we live in. But regardless, the power of the people, the power of the spoken word, it has been proven. In this year, 2017, this election cycle, the power of the people overrid the power of the cabal secret governments or the people behind the scenes trying to manipulate elections and accusations flying left and right. the people came out in such numbers, and something strange occurred throughout that entire process. There was a feeling of unity as people disregarded things that the mainstream media said, disregarded propaganda from the hardcore leftists, disregarded the alphabet soups of the world, disregarded all that they had been fed, force-fed for years, and selected a candidate for, at the very least, to smack the establishment upside the head and say, we the people are in charge. And you need to recognize that, because we don't like the path that we're all on. So for whatever you think of the president-elect, here we are. We made a choice. And they tried to stop it. It's not over yet. We still haven't got to the inauguration day. They could pull what they did on Kennedy. You know, they could do something terrible like that. It's not over until the man, you know, accepts his oath of office and is sworn in and actually becomes the president. And then even after that, the battle is still going to be an uphill as far as to ensure that all the promises made are going to be kept. But the point I'm trying to get to about all of this is that we the people literally, like somebody posted in the chat room, we the people are the spanner in the machine. We threw a monkey wrench in the machine. And hopefully that the after effects of throwing that monkey wrench into the machine is going to be that before the mainstream media lies to us again, they'll remember this day. Before the government tries any more dirty tricks, they'll remember this day. Before everything goes to heck in a handbasket, they'll remember this day. You know, the power of the spoken word, you have the power to literally lift a person's spirit up to the highest points of heaven or drop their spirit down to the lowest depths of hell. That's how powerful word is. So, for those even those that had been on the Knights of the Round Table and prior shows and all that, even those who think that all we do is talk, I want to point you out to that. Election cycle 2016, that talking showed power. That talking got people motivated. The power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, the power of love, all these things combined together in conjunction with one another is the true power of we the people. We the people are the government. And these guys that were talking out there, like Trey Gowdy and the judge Napolitano, they're pointing out what that Constitution was about. They're pointing out what our government was about. By the people, for the people. That these things that are written down in the United States Constitution were there to ensure freedom and justice for all, and that justice would be blind. That it'd be a balanced scale. You get a fair shot whenever you end up having to go to defend yourself in court. They couldn't just take from you. They had to have a reason. They had to have justice on their side. You know, there's people that believe the United States Constitution is an outdated document. That, you know, it was good for its time, but here we are in a new time. Well, I'd like to submit to the world out there that document, or whatever you may think of it, is the only thing that stands between you and tyranny. That document gives you the right as a United States citizen that if the government gets so far out of control, it's you, it's not only your right, but it's your duty to abolish said government. But also have to warn about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Because although the system may be a mess right now, it's probably the longest lasting system in the history of the world. As far as the Roman Empire all the way up to all the different superpowers and nations of the world, it's the longest lasting structure. The United States is made up of people from all over the world. A centralized point on the globe or the flat earth, whichever one you believe, a centralized point where people merge to try to at least have the taste of freedom and to try to at least live the American dream, to try to at least be free. So, when the government gets out of control, we the people stand up and we do what we did this election cycle. We used our voice, we used the power of the pen, and we put it out there for the people. We put it out there for our children and our future generations to come, to show any government, any senator or congressman or president sitting in office that we're still here. And we're still as powerful as we was back then when we started this nation. Now, I get all kinds of guff and craziness going on about all the bad things that happened to get us to the point where we're at. And while I'm saddened and I can have empathy and sympathy for past people of the United States and people that were here before the United States, so on, because I don't believe that anybody should be done wrong. I don't believe that anybody should come to harm. But I recognize that I'm standing in the year 2017, and I have to, regardless of how we got here, I have to start paving a road for the future to ensure that those things of the past never repeat themselves. Our job as we the people is to be eternally vigilant, just like Thomas Jefferson said. That we always pay attention to those that we select to be our leaders. The United States of America is a representative republic. It's never been a democracy. And so when you hear a representative out there telling you about how wonderful our democracy is, then you need to be concerned. Because he doesn't even understand the concept of the nation that he's sworn to protect and uphold the rights of. So, we the people got our work cut out for us. It's not time for us to go back to sleep. It's not time for us to come together, come against one another, but via arguments over who's right or who's wrong on any political or religious lines. It's up for us to try to work together and to try to exercise our power of the spoken word. I can't sit here and prove and say that I can prove my spiritual beliefs. I can't sit here and say that I know what it is that this country was actually founded on, or who did it, or what, or how, or why. I can only speak for the last 51 years of my life. I can only speak for my actions and those around me. And in the here and now, even in my own personal journey, in my own personal life, I can't change the past. I can work towards righting the wrongs of the past, and I can work towards making things better and making things right with anyone who I may or may not have offended. And I can try to lead by example into the future, even if it's only with spoken word. So I do believe that sitting here having these radio conversations with one another, sitting at the round table, is getting things done. Now, like I said, I know there's those who disagree. Some within my own circle who would disagree with that. It is getting things done. This election cycle is a small example of how that occurs. You know, they don't call it propaganda for nothing. They don't call it an agenda for nothing. When those folks out there are trying to scare Granny and Grandpa into believing that they're going to lose their Social Security if this certain candidate isn't chosen to be the leaders, then that's why they do what they do. That's how they maintain the power. To play off of your hearts and your anger and your frustration. That's what propaganda is. And propaganda is the tool that they use to get to further their agenda to making this world the way that they want it, not the way that we the people want it. I hope that those listening out there can understand what it is that I'm trying to point out. I hope that you can see the true power in you, the individual. Because that's what this is all about. 211 Knights of the Round Table show. It doesn't sound like much to some, but there's 211 podcasts with some of the most brilliant individuals, some of the most heartfelt conversations, laughters, tears, anger, frustrations, information. The day that we the people stop talking, the day that we the people stop exercising our power of the spoken word, is the day that the rest of what we call our government and our leaders, our police forces, our militaries, can just run amok unchecked because nobody said anything. So with that said, we've got Muddy on here, and we got Thomas on here. You guys got any thoughts on any of that stuff? Anybody? No. You gotta unmute your microphone when you speak. That's another thing from the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science, is getting people to talk.
Well, sometimes there's some people in the group. Some of us like to kick back and give them a chance because we know they usually got something to say, so we don't want to step on them.
What about you, Muddy?
Well, good morning, Dadgummit. It's a beautiful day.
So what do you think about what I just said?
I was typing.
You didn't hear none of that?
Just a little bit of it.
How could you sit at a round table and not hear the conversations that are going on at the round table?
I've been busy dragging people in to view the show. I'm a good boy. Cross my heart and don't die laughing. And I took my meds.
Alright. Will you continue on doing what you're doing over there? What about you, Thomas? Do you have any thoughts?
And my brain's just empty vacuous today.
Okay. So, essentially, folks, these things that are going on in Congress and the Senate right now and around the world and the protests that are planned for, you know, trying to discourage or delegitimize the incoming president of the United States. I have to put a warning out there for even those who are on the other side of the fence as far as who got chosen to be elected. Surely things are bad, maybe rough or worse in the United States right now with the way that things are going. But I want to point you out to something. If you haven't never seen the video series called Jericho, I want you to go watch that. And when you see what is going on in that, I want you to sit down and take a good, long, hard thought about, would you like to be living in a world like that? Because right now, even though we're aggravated with our governments, and even though we have people doing terrible things and going out rioting and protesting and causing a ruckus, that in itself doesn't even scratch the surface of what those people had to contend with in that series. The average Joe isn't living in fear of their life every single day. You know, there are those who do, but...
Hey, Jesus, the flip side of that, this new show Incorporated, should have a look at that and see what the other direction could be.
I hadn't seen that show yet. It's called Incorporated?
Over that one.
Did you say it was called Incorporated?
Incorporated. Put out by Sci-Fi.
I'll have to check it out. But, nonetheless, you wouldn't want to live in a Jericho-style world. You wouldn't want to have to worry about your kids or your resources or your wives or any of your family members or friends, for that matter, being gunned down or captured or God knows what all. Just go watch the series. If I honestly believe that if you could get the about 300 million people that live in the United States alone to watch that series, they come away looking with a different point of view. You know, I've heard some folks out there talk about the prepper community. I've heard some folks talking about, well, you know, if all heck breaks loose, I'm not going to stock nothing up. I'll just go out and take what I need. Think about what they just said. I will just go out and take what I need. I will forcefully go over and take people's food and their property. Now you think about that. I'm serious. Honestly, really deep down inside, think about what was just said. Somebody ain't going to take the time to store up food and supplies and all that. They're going to take the time when it's time to come around and take what you got by force.
Well, now, it's a combination of the government having that attitude, commandeering thing.
Well, I was about to put that...
And listen, I'm not finished. I got a whole statement. And other people having, individuals having that attitude, because those people you see that are preppers, that are not only stockpiling what they need to survive, but also stockpiling up ammunition to repel those people.
Yeah. Well... There's a couple documents out there, the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act, that really need to have a serious read at and really listen to it. What Thomas just mentioned about there, these documents literally give the government the power to come around and do exactly what the non-prepper would be doing. They've also stocked up ammunition to repel anybody. And so with that said, the good guy is in between the bad guy and the government itself. the good guy who spent his time trying to take care of his family and tried to prepare for any possible trouble, now has to not only contend with the government, who may not have their best interest at heart, but also has to contend with the marauder or the criminal that didn't want to take the time to prepare ahead of time, figured they just gonna wait till all heck breaks loose and go out and forcefully take what they want. So what I'm trying to point out is, do you really want to live in a world such as that? Surely right now we have to be on guard, because our government literally does try to take land from us and block places off away from us and, you know, do things, you know, try to use the law against us or whatever. And even the average Joe out there sometimes does the same thing to each other. Instead of going over helping your neighbor out mowing their grass because they might have a health concern, you call the law on them. You force them. You send somebody over there with a gun to threaten to fine or imprison them if they don't cut their grass. That's not what the government was meant to be. The government was meant to be, you know, a line of defense, a safety net for just such an emergency that people did get out of control. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. It's not always easy.
It's pretty tough. Most people who argue the Constitution is outdated and honestly claim to be a legitimate concern is that if we were to rewrite it so that basically we could eliminate the ability of the government to say, to read it as, to say we can't do it, so we're going to do it, and forces them back into position of, it said if this is what it should be, and that's it. You can't do anything else without themselves getting involved and saying, okay, we'll let you have this other power.
Yeah. Muddy's mic is making you cut out. I don't know what he's doing over there, but every time he blinks, you cut out.
No.
try muting up whenever somebody else is on there.
It sounds like scratching coming across his microphone.
Yeah.
He's on against the microphone or something.
Yeah. So, it's not always easy to try to find the right word to say, you know? Because there's a lot of times whenever you start to try to explain something that somebody will hear key words and they will instantaneously jump to a conclusion before you ever even finished with what you're trying to say. It's kind of like what they did to Trump out there whenever they all started calling him a racist because of what he said. They took a section of a speech that, if taken in context, wasn't nothing like what they tried to portray it as. But by taking just that little piece, they could take the conversation clear off somewhere else where it didn't belong. And throw accusations out there that now he had to defend himself against. And so it's not always easy to pick the right words to say to convey a message to people out there of the world who pretty much, for the most part, all or many or most have different opinions and views on things. The biggest thing that I'm trying to get across to everybody out there, your words are a whole lot more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Words have started fist fights. Words have got people shot. Words have started wars. And so if you know you have that one power, you as an individual have that one power, and then you add to that the power of your action, the power of the pen, the power of your love and that, even the power of hate. The human out here, regardless of where you think we came from, each one of you have more power than you can possibly imagine. You bring 300 million people together, and you get them focused on a goal, then it gets done. If you take the 9 billion people that's all over the planet and you do the same thing, then we literally have the power to bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, like I said, there's going to be naysayers that come up out of the woodwork and they're going to say, oh, that's not possible. You can't do this because, and we got all these secret government agencies out here, secret societies. They rule everything. We can't get nothing done. You can't get nobody to agree on nothing. And there's an excuse for an excuse for an excuse and a reason why you can't do anything. And it becomes really frustrating. Sometimes I'm more afraid of the people than I am of the government. Sometimes I'm more afraid of the people than I am of the secret societies. Sometimes I'm more afraid of the people than I am of any of the evils in the world. Because I know the true power of the people. And the true power of the people, if ever awakened, would be such as that if we didn't want bad things to happen in this world, bad things would not happen in this world. It's as simple as that. Anybody, tell me why there's still somebody starving in this world. And prove your case. Why? Tell me why there's anybody out there in this world that's homeless. And prove your case.
Because there's greed and evil and wickedness in high places. That's why.
Prove your case. Prove your case. There's 9 billion people on the planet. Do you believe that the majority of 9 billion people are evil?
Hey, I can tell you why the evil that he just described does succeed. Because the 9 billion people aren't doing anything to stop it.
There you go. There you go. Now, if the 9 billion people on the planet chose to stop it, do you believe that it could be stopped?
If the 9 billion people did, but that's a very rare occurrence when 9 billion people all choose to do something.
Sure. Sure it is. Nobody said that this was going to be an easy task.
Actually, I don't think anyone has ever met this people in mass like that.
Sure.
That's just kind of happened.
Yeah, nobody ever said it was an easy task, but in order for you to define impossible, then you would have to exclude every possibility.
But it is a logistical possibility at this point. There's no way to do it.
Right now, the task is overwhelming, but because we can actually think it, it is a possibility. It is a possibility that words could motivate enough people, that could motivate enough more people. You know, they call it pay it forward. You go buy somebody a dinner, and they go buy somebody else a dinner, and so on down the line. Now imagine if everyone in this little group right here, talking right now on the Knights of the Round Table, and those in the chat room, just those people right there, if everyone went out tomorrow and started doing nothing but good things all the time, that's it. That we just did nothing but good things all the time. And see how far that would spread. See, my point is, it is possible.
Those people end up being consumed by those for doing nothing but good.
Regardless, look. Here's the key.
What happened?
Here's the key right here.
Hey, I'm kind of providing us permission to make it happen, man. You've got to protect each other.
Sure.
Don't let it happen and it just get stomped out. I mean, it was good intention from the natives, I can almost guarantee you, that ensured that there was no immigration law to stop the Europeans from stomping all over their way of life. Protect each other.
Yep. There's some knowledge that we've got of past history. You know, for whatever the history was written, whatever we know about. Let's just say the little bits that we do know. things that we don't ever want to see repeated ever again. And we rise up against those kind of things. And I'm not talking about in a violent manner. I'm talking about, you know, using...
Just to participate.
Yeah.
And refuse to just allow it to happen either.
Yep.
See it happening. Step up, put a stop to it. Anytime you don't keep violence, because people don't want the violence themselves, they just want to get away with what they're doing. When they see it can't, they back off.
Yep.
Well,
what'd you say?
Did you read Gregory Scott Busby's poem at the beginning?
No one want to read it out?
Yeah, he was requesting that either you or I read it out. I'll read it if you want.
Okay, go ahead.
Poem by Gregory Scott Busby in Australia now. The title is Perceive. Do you believe the Chinese whispers? Or only what you see with your eyes? Can you be sure of what you see? Or do you soak up all the lies? Why believe words over actions when actions tell you so much more? Sight and sound merely fractions of world stages shore to shore. There's people crying, children dying. More and more the bombs are flying. Earth is shaking, the sun's gone mad. Water's tainted, and the food is bad. There's radiation killing us all, sustainable resources taking a fall. Holes in our ozone and pole shift. Tsunamis, in store as tectonic plates drift. Animals dying and birds dropping dead on the surface. Tornadoes abound, weird storms overhead. It's all on the increase, new records galore. Floods, drought, and blizzards like never before. When will we wake up? And is it too late? Has mankind really sealed his fate? The question, therefore, falls to you. Sit and take it. Do what you gotta do. Gregory Scott Busby.
You know? And there's a whole lot of people out there that can relate to every single word in that deal.
I think that's what you were saying at the beginning of the show while I was not paying attention.
Stephen Gibbons posted a comment in the chat room, said, Don't do too well where critical thinking stops and their teaching gets absorbed without passing through your BS filter and into your subconscious. You've been doing a show and telling with your creations. I believe I understand what he's talking about. You know, I don't think that any of us are here for nothing. I think that there's a reason why things happen the way they do. Not saying that I believe that the world is written in stone, because I don't. I believe that we have the power of free will and we have the choice here. I believe that if you look around, one of the examples that I always put out there is that if you actually take a long look at what we call our Earth, our planet, our home in space, or a flat plane of existence, whatever you think, it doesn't matter. If you just look around and you see the abundance of land and materials and wildlife and resources, and if you really seriously think about the possibilities of what we could do, not only to clean this place up and make it look good, but to ensure that every single person out there was provided for all the necessities of life, everything that, you know, we take for granted and luxuries. We're living in a wonderful world right now. I mean, come on, folks. Some of the folks, some of the poorest folks out there are living better than some of the kings and queens of old. If you got an internet service where you can actually hear what this radio show's talking about, then you're doing pretty good as far as I'm concerned. Better than a lot. Better than those individuals living out there and, you know, having to dig through rubbish in order to try to find some sustainable food or some materials that they can trade or sell, or, you know, some used clothing or something. And it's a shame that any person out there, any human being, would have to scrounge around to try to have a living. You know, in the beginning of this show and every other Knights of the Round Table, it sounds funny what you're listening to. There's a couple people that are basically digging through the trash trying to find something of value, something they can use. You know, and in that particular era, they would have been called peasants. Think about that. Think about people in this world right now that they say live in third world countries. What third world?
It's only one.
Yeah, the one we're standing on. Our family, which is the people of this world, are out there hurting. They're out there starving. They're dying. They're suffering. And, buddy, by yourself, you can't go out there and fix the whole world. Neither can I or Thomas. The three of us, by ourselves, there's no way that we could fix the whole world. But what we could do is throw that first positive pebble in the pond. Three of them. You're throwing one. I'm throwing one. Thomas is throwing one. People in the chat room are throwing them in. We're throwing positive pebbles out there for people. And sure, we know the world has some bad things, but if we take and drag our fellow brothers and sisters deeper into the abyss, the muck that is the system of the beast that's eating us alive, then we basically ignore the power that we actually have. I won't stand by while one of my brothers is telling me all we do is talk. Because I know the power of the spoken word. Wars have started over the spoken word. People have been killed over the spoken word. People have been saved and rescued over the spoken word. Businesses have started. Families have destroyed themselves. Families have saved themselves over the spoken word.
I remember we were on here one morning and we got a school teacher from Afghanistan. We were ready to send the printers and a computer to sit there and print these books out, or send them books and paper. And this guy was trying to rip us off. He said, "Can you send money?" He said, "They'll take our books." Come on now. It'd be more like they'd try to take your money as it came across the border and all that. It was a rough time, but you know what? This guy was trying to make money, even though he was in a spot where it was pretty rough. Now, that's what we were getting at before. We said, why are there starving people? Because there's always greed waiting to intercept and take the ball. And that kind of ruins the whole game, you know?
Well,
but we try.
Nonetheless, we can't ignore our true power because of the existence of greed. We can't ignore our true power because of the existence of evil. You know those words that, how do you pronounce that name in there? Buzz Pacino?
Gregory Scott Busby.
Okay. Well, if you read those words on there, there's a lot of profound statements in there. And if we sit there and allow ourselves to ignore our true power, the power of the written word, like you just posted out there, then all these things like greed and evil and stupidity and ignorance, it wins. But when we exercise the power of the pen, and when we exercise the power of the spoken word, that ripple sent out there. You understand what I'm trying to say here? You can't stop that ripple. It's out. Once you open the Pandora's box, it's out. Ain't no way he'll ever be able to take back any of the words he said on there without writing new words to say either I was right or I was wrong. Or you understand what I'm saying, buddy?
Nope.
But nonetheless, those are powerful words. He wrote a new one if you want to read it again.
Sure, I'll read that one. Give me a minute, I'm going to proofread it. That way it comes out better.
Alright. So essentially what I'm saying is, folks, don't give up just because the task is so incredible. I want to retell a story that I told my son, or retell a story that I told the world about me and my son. There was this giant pile of gravel. And to get to our new house, we had to go through the mud and didn't have no sidewalk or driveway to speak of because the gravel hadn't been spread down yet. Of course, at the time, I didn't have the machinery necessary to do it. So the only way to get it done would be to do it by hand. And my son was really young back then. I'm probably maybe 7, 8 years old. He wasn't very old at all. And I looked at that pile of gravel and I looked over there at the muddy path up to the front door. And I said, hey, son, what do you say you and I take that pile and make us a walkway up to the house and put some out here on the driveway. He looked at that pile, and keep in mind, my son was real short at that time, and he looked up at that pile and he said, well, Dad, how are we ever going to do that? That is so big. And I said, son, all we got to do is take our time, put just a little bit in the bucket at a time, just enough where we can carry it comfortably, and just have fun and don't even think about it. Let's just start talking and walking and throwing some rocks down. And so we started in on the process. We got our buckets and, you know, my son, he'd have a little bit in his bucket and he'd go over there and pour it in the spot, and I did the same. And before too long, my daughter came out and my wife came out and they saw what we were doing. They thought it was a good idea and they joined in and they started picking at it. And so we picked at this and picked at it, and then finally, before it was all said and done, the pile was smaller. And we had a walkway to go up to our house. Looked nice. We all did it together. And I told my son, I said, look at that pile, boy. See what we did? It looked pretty big at the time. Remember that? And he said, yeah, I remember that, Dad. I said, all we did was pick at it a little bit at a time. And we kept working at it. And now we conquered that pile. You know, in my book of faith, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. He said, speak to that mountain and tell it to move, and it's going to move. And that's what we did to that gravel pile. Sure, we got in there and physically moved it. But the overwhelming task of what it was before, we didn't give up. And we shouldn't give up now. We, the people of this world, shouldn't give up now. There's some corrupt people in this world. There's some evil people in this world. There's some things in this world that go on that we got to resolve. But we can't let words like greed discourage us from the power of the spoken word, the power of the written word.
If you know it's right, then say it. If you know it's right, then write it down. Share it with the world. Inspire them in the direction that you want them to go. If you want them to go to the depths of the darkest abyss, you got the power of the spoken word. But you have to proceed with caution, because their spoken word might just be a little bit more in line than yours. And they say that you might want to watch what you wish for, because you might just get it. You understand what I mean by that, buddy?
Yeah.
I hate my government. I want my government gone. Okay, government's gone now. Who's in charge out there?
Hey,
who's watching your back?
Yeah, it's like you said. A dictator rules. King serves.
That's right.
A government doesn't serve. It rules. And it's trying to take over as a monopoly. Do as you're told, or, you know, or else. That's not right. It's not right. We have the right to live, to forage, you know, right of travel, without being harassed. What the Constitution was about. It was a constitution to these United States, for which the Republic stands. Not just it. Put the word Republic in there. You know. I'm ready for this poem here. Gregory Scott Busby, On Common Ground. We survived together, big and small, white and colored, short and tall, old and young, boy and girl, on common ground, our home, this world. We all need clean water and food to live, and the price is your soul you'll have to give. When they own it all, you'll have to do as you're told. Only very good slaves will live to be old. So stand united in the name of peace, insisting that the wars do cease. From the shackles we demand release. We don't want your control or your bully police. Earthlings we are, first and foremost. And some unwelcome guests are killing our host. So we must all gather and let our love sound. The earth is our mother. She's our common ground.
You can learn a lot from that. You can learn a lot from nature. You can learn a lot from the world. I look out into this world, and what I see in this world is amazing. There's beauty, you know. Some folks can look into the world and they can only see so far. They can only see the trash laying on the floor or the ground or the, you know, whatever. But you got a choice. You're gonna complain about that, or you're gonna go over there and tidy it up, put it in its proper place. You see what I mean?
I saw a commercial. I saw a commercial about littering. These people are standing on the corner, just a few people looking down and talking like, oh, well, who could have done such a thing? Just looking at this stupid piece of paper sitting there next to the trash can, didn't make it in. And the other people said, oh, that's just terrible. Oh my goodness. And the crowd got bigger and bigger and more voices talking at once. And then this kid comes by with his headphones on, couldn't hear a thing. He's just going by on the skateboard, reaches down, picks it up, flicks it in the air, and it goes into the wastebasket. Ended the whole conversation.
See?
There's a little common sense in that. You know, you can spend a lot of time and energy going blah, blah, blah. Pick it up, throw it in there. It's like going through the house and saying, who did this? Who picked it? Man, picked it. You can go in there and be hated by all. Or you can just wash the dishes.
Yep.
walk through the room, pick up all the clothes, swing by all the bedrooms, swing in each bedroom, which bedroom each belongs.
I only got so much reach with my body. I only got so much that I can actually physically do, you know, in my area, just like everybody else out there. But the power of the spoken word, I can reach clear across this planet and then some. You see what I mean? And this is why I get so incredibly frustrated when people think that all you do is just talk about it. You know, we don't get nothing done. All we do is talk. Inspiring others to believe in themselves and to motivate themselves and to learn how to live past the greed and the stupidity that has come upon the face of the world, that's no easy task. And it's an ongoing task. You've seen it with me, Mighty. All of you've seen it with me. I get frustrated and I want to walk away from it all. And if it wasn't for your inspiring words, I probably would have. You think I'm wrong?
I hear you. But, no, I don't think you're wrong. But I understand, look, I go around mowing lawns, and I'll see this small lawnmower buried in the grass that I know can't get through, you know? And there's no way, and I'm pretty sure somebody already complained down to the association, telling them they need to get their grass cut, or they'll charge them, they'll get somebody to cut it for $100 to charge them. You know, and that's what runs through my mind. So as soon as I'm done mowing where I'm at, I just keep rolling. I'll run over the stupid thing and knock it down. And I don't know how many that I've run over and then just gone off. And it seems like the people weren't there, either that or they were hiding inside. But, you know, it helps. And I've had people catch up with me later saying, "I saw you." You know? Buy me a soda or hand me a pizza or something, you know. I think, you know, it's come back. It does pay you back. And I tell you what, these people notice the telephone number on the trailer and they'll get their friends to call you. Because I've had people say, you mowed somebody's lawn and they thought you were making, you know, did it by accident. And then you left. You didn't knock on the door, but they called me. Because I needed my lawn done. My guy doesn't come by. It all comes back, every bit of it. It doesn't always come back in work. It doesn't always come back in the way that you think. But, you know, you might just walk into your yard and find something that you need that somebody dropped off all of a sudden. Or a time when food was rough, somebody dropped food that you bought. Or just, you broke down on the side of the highway and somebody just rolled up and you say, "Hey, what's the matter?" He said, "I don't know, it just died." He said, "Well, let's put it on the trailer and take it home." I've met so many people that I don't think I'd have met in a normal life. I think it was blessing. And you know what? The timing of it, you know, it, five times this one guy that loaded my cars up, took them home for me. I wouldn't have had time to dial them on the phone. It just magically rolled up. And that man's Jim Clubston. That's something else. The man's timing just tells me that it was meant to be. I've seen so many times things go haywire and there's no other way and there's always somebody there that I know I would not have there. If I didn't care about others and do things for others, try to do what I do. So, I mean, it all comes back. That pay it forward, it's like sticking it in your bank for later. I know it says pay it forward, but it's more like sticking it in the bank. You don't know where it's going to come from, which direction, but it'll be there. I know Boom Boom sitting in a restaurant looking at some Mexican kid rubbing the blisters on his feet. As soon as he's done, he tips, goes, pays for the food, and on the way out, hands the kid a $100 bill and points over to the store. And get you some extra socks and a good pair of shoes. And walks off. All the kids drop jaw, you know. I'm sure it's come back to Boomer a lot. I'm sure it has. You know, most people don't get to, most people don't live past 50 or 60. But Boomer's in reasonably good health and still has a business. And his deal is not about making the money. Yeah, sure, he likes to make money. And it's his spare time thing. It's his hobby. But Boomer likes to make money in a way that he'd rather make sure that his workers get more than he does. That way they can raise their families. He will keep them busy. If there's nothing to do that's making them money, he will put them to work doing some science project with them and pay them for the day just to keep them rolling. I've seen it. He's a great man. I just love the way he works. I love the way he does things. He pulled my dad out of the fire a few times. So, doggone, man. He's got to get rid of material. It costs more to dump it off into the dump than it does to just roll it on down here. I have got building material that has allowed me to do things. It's great. I wouldn't have been able to do this pallet palace without doing it. The 2x4 is what holds the pallets together between me and my roof. You know? And I got enough 2x4s left for a geodesic dome, which is still in the planning of the making as soon as I get on my feet. But you know what? I remember all my life, I've always tried to help people. I fed the homeless. I've given those who didn't have jobs, get them their license and put them in the taxi cab. I've clothed people. One of my drivers was so enthused in watching the way I did things, he took all of his money that he made for 3 days, went out, bought food, went home and cooked up like it was Thanksgiving, and went by and delivered it to these people that I was running on what I call a false charge. My drivers were driving. I told them right out of charge slip, turn it in with your lease as part of your lease. And I did that. But you know, this guy we called Kirby because he ran over a curb to avoid an accident. But he preferred the name. He liked it. But he wasn't all that bright. He kind of talked like Joe Coffey from the Green Mile. And he was big. But he had a heart of gold. And this guy spent 3 days of his paycheck, went out, made a big old tray of banana pudding, and he thought that he was cooking for a cafeteria. And he had his whole cab loaded down with food and brought it in to my customers. And man, they scarfed it up. They were very happy. And when their charge got so big, she says, well, I'm going to have to stop doing this charge. I can't afford to pay you back. There's no way. The student loans got me sapped and all this stuff. And I said, well, somebody already paid your charge. I was talking about Jesus. You know, to me, that was tithing. You don't have to, like, throw it at the church. You put it where the ministry is. That's where the ministry was. And you know what? I saw my 100-fold. It's tested and proven. I know it's there. Too many things happen at just the right time. I can't debate it. There's no way. So I've seen all this. Doing for others will make you rich, even though you're poor.
Well,
James E. Tollison said, you have to have more money than you need before you need it, therefore you can break even if something happens. Well, at the time I didn't have the money. But when something happened, the money magically showed up. I call that just as good. So the things you do for other people is storing up for your hard times. And I do believe in that wholeheartedly. With that, I'll just have to say nuts.
Well, Jermaine typed something in the chat room that kind of touched my heart, man. He said, thanks, Jesus. This year I met a lot of people because of you. You saw something in me. I really appreciate it. I am happy that I can call you and you all my friends. You see, that's how
see,
it works,
you,
man.
Mimi, Boomer, Thomas, all of us together, freaks of a feather freak out together, right? We congregated like people.
You're welcome, Jermaine.
I love y'all. I love y'all. I love Jermaine. I love Gregory Scott Busby. I love Stephen Gibbons. And you know what? It's family to me. I love Boom Boom.
That's what it's all about, folks.
That's why I wouldn't let you close it all down, Bubba. No, you do too much good. I love you, man. I love what you do.
That's why we do what we do. That's why we keep talking. That's why we keep working towards alternative energy ideas and alternative lifestyles and things. That's why we do what we do. And if I've benefited anybody's life in this world, then I think I'm doing a good job at what I'm doing. Even if I only benefit one person. You guys have done so much more than you can possibly imagine from the time that we all first gathered together and started doing radio shows. A lot of wisdom has flowed through our minds and out into text and over the radio and has give people a different point of view at the very least, but gave them some hope and some ideas and inspiration. You know, I posted some definitions in there of sympathy and empathy and inspiration, because you can take all three of those things together and you can understand how powerful something you do or say could be to the world out there. You know, Jermaine said that, you know, when we met, that he met a lot of people because of me and made some new friends, and I inspired him and I believed in him. And that's something that he'll pass on to his friends. That's something that he'll pass on out there into the world. And as for all the things that you've done for people out there in this world, buddy, you know, none of us are looking for any return outside of the fact we want a better world, and we want our children to be raised in a safer, cleaner, just... We believe in the dream. You see what I'm trying to say here?
No.
It's not a waste of time to talk. It's not a waste of time to get up on the radio and talk about problems of the world and point out, you know, and try to inspire people. He said, "You made me look further and inspired me. Thanks." Do you know how awesome that is? Do you know how happy my heart is to see that a young man thinks that something I did was worthy? You know, if you look out there at the youth of today, they're in trouble. They're struggling, man. They just don't know what to think of the world because of all the different things that's out there on the table. But here we are, the older folks of the world, and we're trying to give them something different than what the rest of the kids out there got. we're trying to point out that this world, as messed up as it may appear, it's not beyond our control. We're trying to show them that they are powerful. Those words, "we the people," those weren't put on the top of that document for nothing. They knew that the power, the true power, lies in the hands of the people. They knew that the true power lies in the spoken word, the power of the pen. Look at the power that somebody put down on a piece of paper with a pen so many years ago that to this very day still affects each and every person in this world. You know, the biblical text, the inspirational words in the biblical text, we can dispute and disagree on fact or fiction or where it all came from, but if you think about the basics of it all, the golden rules that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, or any of the basic golden rules, the Ten Commandments, whatever you want to call them. The words of a man who said, to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and to love thine enemy and such. Those inspirational words, regardless of who wrote them, how many ever years ago that they were, and how many times they were tried to be manipulated, or were manipulated, or still being manipulated, have resonated and affect the world. Some of the most amazing poems and books and stories and things that were put out there, and something as simple as a picture that somebody painted inspired somebody to do something.
Man, I'm trying to get this cowboy hat wearing Aussie with that wonderful accent get on the show. He's being shy.
Yeah.
Not much like an Aussie.
It's all right. Just let you know. When people finally hang out with family long enough, they'll open up and they'll want to come on. They'll want to have a conversation with family. So, hey, just be thankful that they're here.
I think we're gonna add them in here and drag them in. What do you think?
I don't force nobody up in here.
Oh, but this is Gregory Scott Busby. It's fair play.
Either way, you know the speech that has to be given.
Oh, yeah.
We try to run a clean radio station here out of respect for all. So, anyway. It all started off with a couple of inspiring speeches that one was Judge Napolitano and one was Trey Gowdy, who were standing up for rights and freedom. And you can't overlook the power of that word, because the power of that word right there, Thomas shared it with me and I shared it with you, and you'll share it with somebody else, but that speech, those speeches, they had power to motivate. And so we can make this world a better place. It isn't impossible. Nothing in this world is impossible. If you can think it, it is possible. Now, you got a long way to go to prove to me that the moon is hollow, or the moon is a hologram, or there is aliens, or there isn't aliens, or the earth is hollow, or the earth is flat, or the earth is round. I'll hear you out. But I'm going to reserve my final decision from all the evidence presented. If you believe that it's not possible, then you will never succeed at anything. But here on Shazia's Radio, we reach for the stars and beyond. We look at the overall picture and the possibility of every dream out there, and we reach out there to try to grasp that dream. You know, there was a long time ago, there's this thing on a carousel. When you're going around a carousel, there was this thing that talked about reaching out and grabbing the golden ring as you're going by on the carousel. Don't know what the whole history of that is or whatever, but here we are on our carousel, and we're reaching for the golden ring. We're reaching for the stars. So when I say there's a potential that we can literally make this world a better place, that we have the power of 9 billion people to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, it's a tall order. But I'll never stop reaching for that golden ring, because I got enough love in my heart to spread around this world. It's one thing that you never, your pockets might get empty of gold and silver, but your heart, it just, where it comes from, it's up to you to decide. Your own spiritual beliefs or journeys, whatever. But wherever it comes from, that power of love, it just seems to never run out. And you can have sympathy and empathy and inspire and have concern for one another. You can use the power of your words to lift somebody up to the highest points of heaven or down to the lowest depths of hell. That's how much power that is within each and every one of those 9 billion people. So I ask the questions. I ask the tough questions. If the world is starving, then why? If the world is at war, then why? If there's somebody out there that's homeless, why? If you take a look at everything around you, you take a look as far as the eye can see and then some. You get in a plane or a balloon and you fly up as high and you look as far as you can see again. We're surrounded by so much. We have been given so much. This earth is an incredible, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. Resources so abundant that whoever or whatever put this all together knew that we were going to act just like we were acting right now, and there were people that would be in need. That's pretty profound. If we utilized everything that we have access to, all our gifts and talents, what we could accomplish would literally be that heaven on earth, that utopia. We could feed the hungry out there. Militaries and governments can amass tons and tons of equipment and food and medical supplies and ammunition and bombs and everything like that, and they can go over there and they can mop somebody's nation right into the Stone Age. They can destroy their lives and put them right down to the lowest, darkest abyss. Now, if they have the power, with we the people behind the scenes, to create that kind of destruction, imagine if that power was focused towards feeding those people that need fed, healing the sick, sheltering the homeless. I hope that these words resonate out there. I know the podcast is going to be out there in cyberspace forever. I'm chiseling it in stone on the walls of cyberspace, a message of peace, hope, and love, and inspiration, and I'm hoping that somehow or another these words will resonate out to the hearts of the 9 billion people of this planet via newsletter, or word of mouth, or flyer on a pole, or somebody just doing something nice for somebody, until finally there is no such thing as somebody starving in this world, and there is no such thing as somebody homeless, unless they just choose to wander the land in freedom. Maybe they don't want to live in a home. Maybe they want to live under the bridge. Maybe that's their comfort zone. But if it makes them happy, and if it makes them enjoy their lives, isn't that what we've all been looking for all along? Nobody has the right to do somebody wrong. Nobody has the right to take somebody's freedom or their life. And if we could all come to that common ground, regardless of what your spiritual, political, or views of anything, we can all come to that common ground. It's not impossible. The task is overwhelming because we've had a long, long history of doing things the wrong way. And the house didn't get this dirty overnight. It's going to take a bit to clean up. But with you cleaning up your side of the town and me cleaning up my side of the town and all of us coming together in the middle and having a picnic and enjoying the fruits of our labor, when we do like the old Johnny Appleseed and we go out and plant trees that we may never even be able to taste the fruit. That fruit might not ever even grow until long after we're gone. We just did something for the future generation that they may walk by and never even know who we were. They might not even be thankful or even recognize that somebody at some point in time put that food, planted that seed for them to enjoy those fruits. And when we pave the stones for our children to walk into the future, unless we carve our name in them, they won't even know. I'm saying, right now we are the founding fathers. The mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, the uncles, cousins, nephews, friends, neighbors, or whatever, of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow. I do believe in the dream. And there's not a man alive that can say any words that's going to make that stop. Because, as the old saying goes, it's never over till the fat lady sings. That's a reference to opera, in case you hadn't noticed.
You make fun of fat people?
It's not politically correct, but the opera isn't over until the lady sings, man. It's not over until it's over. In my book of faith, it says that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. Not even the angels in heaven would know. And that means that up until that point, I got the choice. I can either live in fear of the apocalypse and doomsday to come, or I can sit here and I can try to make this world as best as I possibly can and clean my house up before my father shows up so he ain't so riled up when he gets here, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I need to take a breath. Anybody want to talk?
Sure. Greg's got a couple more here. Let me read one here. Maybe I'll let
Welcome, Greg.
Hello.
It's good to see you here. It's always good to see new Knights of the Round Table.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're more than welcome, brother. And I'm inspired by your words. You take the time to bring them out of your heart and mind.
Well, talking of which, I actually wrote a song to try and change hearts and minds.
Well, I tell you what, put that song to music and we'll put it on the radio for you.
That would be beautiful, that really would. It's called To Be a Better Human.
To Be a Better Human. You know, that's the second one. I was looking at that love and light there. That's pretty good.
That's a poem. I mean, the poems, they're nice. I work them out myself. But To Be a Better Human, I've never written a song before. And I just sat down one day and literally, it's as if it was sent to me, because 10 minutes later I looked down and the song's there.
I noticed when you're writing poetry, you got something on your heart and you just start going, and where it leads you is basically what's on your heart. And you look for a little word to rhyme and a way to say it, and you know what? Somehow it just seems to come out more clear than it was before. So the just writing it is kind of rewarding. But this isn't looking to your heart itself when I read this. I appreciate it. It says, love and light. Feel the love and see the light. Opening up your inner sight. Understand what's right and wrong. reveal your heart's one true love song. Through your soul, the good must flow to guide you in this life you know. Your destiny is to shine so bright and to help those that are lost in the night. Wisdom helps your future grow, understanding steadies the show. So take the hands, lead the blind. Look much deeper, see what you find. To share the love and show the light will take away the fearful's fright. Then all together we will stand with love and light throughout the land. I mean, it's not, you know, what were you thinking? It's more like, what were you thinking?
Well, you know what impresses me the most about it? Is that he actually took the time to get out there and share it with the world. That's it. You know, their inspirational words come from his heart. Wherever they came from, his mind. You can't underestimate the power of the spoken word, the power of the individual. See, what I was trying to point out to people out there, however we got here, whether it be the universe or divine creator, however we got here, nobody out there has every talent that there is to have. Everybody's like a piece of the puzzle. You know, there's poets, there's musicians, there's house builders, mechanics, electricians, and so on and so forth. By themselves, you know, a house doesn't build itself just by the guy swinging the hammer. You know, it doesn't get finished just by the guy swinging the hammer. Somebody got to pick up a saw and cut some wood. Somebody got to pick up some paint and paint the house or make the glass. There's so much that has went into making that house. It's not just the crew building the house. It's the people behind the scene where they got the materials, all the way back to the people who dug the materials up out of the ground. So much had to come together just for you to be able to live in that house right there. So many people's lives out there had to do something in order to make it possible for you to actually be here. They paved the stones for you to sit in the chair that you're sitting in listening to this show right now. You see what I'm saying? So I give them all credit. There's this thing that goes around, it's been going around for the last couple of years, and the people are saying, because of my military background, they're saying, thank you for your service, you know? And I look at them, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth, I said, no, thank you for your service. Because it isn't just the military guy. It's the waitress, it's the waiter, it's the dishwasher, it's the cook, it's the people that grew the food, that moved it to market, that made everything. I didn't get that meal right there on my plate because of one individual. You understand what I'm saying? And so much wonderful stuff that humanity has been able to create, this internet, these computers that we're on, so many people had to come together in order to make this even possible. They made the impossible possible for we the people out here. And now that we have access to this kind of technology, and I can speak from my house clear across the other side of the globe and put a message of love in somebody's heart, do you understand how profound that is? That's a lot of power. I can sit here at this microphone and I can say every filthy word in the book, and I can make people laugh, and I can make people cry, and I can make people angry just by the words coming out of my mouth. I might make them want to come all the way across this planet to do me harm. That's what I'm trying to point out to the world out there. We have every single resource necessary, every single answer to every single question at our fingertips if we take this time, this opportunity while we're standing on this crossroads before everything falls completely apart, and we focus our energies and our talents and our skills and our love and our minds together. There is nothing that we could not accomplish. We're in the year 2017. As far as I'm concerned, we should be going to boldly go where no man had been gone before. We'd be flying out in space and visiting other worlds out there and spreading love that far. But we got our own little, whatever you want to call it here. We're on the same boat, the same beautiful blue rock or flat space and time and space, and we have to live together. And when this ship goes down, it's all hands on board. When we pollute the water around us, we don't have nothing to drink. And we got the opportunity. We can clean this water up. We can clean this land up. We can work in perfect harmony with nature and work in perfect harmony with each other and still be able to live happily ever after in the comforts of some utopia. Not under some one world ideology or religion or government, but under an idea that we the people, all men are created equal. You understand what I'm trying to say here, guys? The only thing that is impossible is that which you choose to be impossible. I don't believe anything is impossible. I believe that if you think it, you can make it happen if you choose to do so. And if you choose to spew negativity out there, negativity breeds negativity, whereas positivity breeds positivity. It's hard to kill somebody who's telling you how much they love you. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And I've got something like that in my song.
Well, see? Birds of a feather flock together and great minds think alike, brother.
Totally.
I'm telling you, I'm going to keep on doing the Knights of the Round Table. Even if old King Shazuz the Terrible has to sit at the round table by himself and talk until the lights go out, until the world goes to complete darkness and cold and into the great abyss for eternity, I'm not going to give up hope.
And the hair on your toes grow long.
Well, I hope they don't.
You won't need socks.
I might look like Bigfoot.
Hey, Greg, you want me to read the lyrics to Be a Better Human?
Unless you want me to sing it?
Try it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Okay. Here I go. To be a better man. Sometimes all you need is a pair of loving arms to comfort you when the day's gone bad. Sometimes all you need is a smile to warm your heart and cheer you up when you are feeling sad. Just remember to give those loving arms in return and smile at every chance you can. 'Cause turn around is fair play and love builds love. Do this and you will be a better human.
Wow.
Sometimes all you need is a little bit of help. When you cannot make it on your own, sometimes all it takes is kind words to change your mind and help you understand you're not alone. Just remember to give that bit of help when you can and make kind words part of your daily plan. 'Cause turn around is fair play and love builds love. Do this and you will be a better human. Sometimes all you need is a roof over your head when you find yourself out in the cold. Sometimes all you need is some time to fill your soul
Good company is worth its weight in gold. Just remember to give some shelter in return. And make time for friends when you can. Cause turn around is fair play and love builds love. Do this and you will be a better human. Cause turn around is fair play and love builds love. Do this and you will be a better human.
Wow. That was awesome, man.
Thanks.
The biggest thing of awesome about it was that you put it out there for everybody to hear, man. See, that's what I'm talking about. And it brings tears to my eyes and joy to my heart. I talk about all the time that, you know, I was talking about building a house. And how much it actually goes into it. And I'm talking about the power of the spoken word. And I'm talking about if you can sing like an angel, now is the time in this world to stand up and sing like an angel. You shared your heart and you shared your love and your words and your song with everybody out there. You know Muddy plays a guitar. You guys should get together and record that or something. And I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm overwhelmed and honored that you came on this show and you sung to the world. Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you, Sid. Basically, like I said, it flowed out of me in 10 minutes. Everything else I've ever written has taken like a couple of days to write or weeks, but that just came through me in 10 minutes. I didn't even realise I'd written it. So in my eyes, I was given it to put out there, and I have been trying to put it out there for the past 2-3 years. No money, no nothing, just put the words out there. That's all I've been doing.
Well, brother, you just immortalized it in digital cyberspace for eternity. You just did it. You put your message out there, and that's what this is all about.
See, I told you, one of us, you got a big heart.
And you got applause. Stephen Gibbons is in the chat room clapping. That's awesome, man. That is awesome.
We got Patty Walker Turtle coming in here sometime today, don't we?
Yeah, I got her. I told her to put a message in there to let me know when she wants to come on air. I want people to meet Patty. I've done shows with her in the past, and she's got her own radio network out there. She's typing right now. I'll see if she's ready to come in.
These Changing Times Radio, TCT Radio.
Yeah, so folks, there also there's a chat room for TCT Radio, and there is a radio player also posted on the superchat.html, which is isradio.com, for you can go and listen to These Changing Times over there with Patty Walking Turtle and her crew.
We're broadcasting on her radio right now, aren't we?
No, I don't have the encoder set up for hers. Uh-oh. But maybe we'll work all that out, and we'll be simulcasting on her network as well. And once again, folks, I want to thank all the networks out there. Seriously. You know, it is a big deal. You know, people don't understand or realize that if you could actually get all these alternative media networks to come together, and, you know, not to merge as one, but to do what we've been doing for quite some time here at Shaziz Radio, we're broadcasting on other people's networks. And they're broadcasting on ours. And we share the bandwidth and the space, and we get messages out there to the world, and we get to meet awesome people like the one you just heard singing. Gregory, you got a YouTube channel or anything out there that you want to share with anybody?
Basically, it's like I said in the chat, you reap what you sow.
I mean, when people actually understand what we are, who we are, and all the rest of it, and understand that each and every single one of us has got so much power, and the way that the system makes us give that power to them, you know, it's wrong. The system needs to change, and the only way the system can change is from the person themselves. They have to first take their power back. So every single person is the change the second they decide it.
Yep, I agree 100%. That is the message, and you said it better than I did.
Thank you. I'm blushing now.
I always struggle to find the right words to convey a message out there, and within a brief period of time, you just come on there and just smooth it all out like glass. And now, if you can't understand what this man just said, I don't know. We'll have to keep working on it, but that was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like poetry, too.
What'd you say, Marty?
I said, I write poetry, too. In times of dexterity, when life is a total wreck, I think of those worse off than me and really feel like heck. Oh, you was expecting more.
Oh, you just like kind of just like.
I didn't say I was a good poet.
You just kind of like stopped.
Yeah, that was the end of the poem. I didn't say I was a good poet.
All right, well, I'm gonna try. You guys keep on talking for a second. I'm communicating with Patty, and I'm gonna tell her. I'll just add her to the call, and you know she could join us in when she gets ready.
Oh, that'll be a treat. She'll love Gregory, too. Mr. Busby, the great Busby.
Thanks.
And I'm sorry, I apologize. I introduced him from Australia. He's not from Australia, he's from England. My bad.
No worries, buddy.
You've done some, as long as I've known you, man, you've definitely been one of us. I'm glad to finally get you on the show here. You are now an honorary knight of the Round Table. To be at you.
Oh, he's already a knight of the Round Table. As soon as you come on air, you're a knight. Chat room, you're an honorary knight. Adding to the Knights of the Round Table out there on the Skype deal. And that, folks, I've been trying to tell everybody out there, this is your platform. This is your microphone. Right, this isn't about old King Shaziz the Terrible. You know, I rule with an iron fist around here. Ask Muddy, he'll tell you. No, the king isn't somebody who's better than you. The king is somebody who's supposed to be a servant to you. You know, if you go to a church or whatever, you know, that pastor up there, he's not to be put on a pedestal. He's no better than you. He's the same as you. All men are created equal. That's the point of view that I believe in. All right? And so, if he wants to serve his congregation, then he does it in a humble manner, in which that he doesn't present himself as divine or better or worse than anybody. You understand what I'm saying? And so, there's a lot of things going on in this world that push people away from church or religion or whatever. You know, different views, different opinions. Not here to debate or argue about it. I'm just trying to say from my point of view that if you're going to be a leader in a community, a congressman or a senator or king or queen or parliament or whatever, you know, you're there as a servant to the people. We the people of the world. That's the point. And there's folks that have lost sight in that. There's folks that have learned how to manipulate laws and regulations and stuff in order to instill fear out there in we the people. You know, I talk about that video of the dots, where there's a tiny little fraction of dots, and they're telling all the masses of the people what to do. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, majority of the people are in fear, so they'll just follow the status quo.
You either do what I say or won't.
Yeah. And so, the point is, folks, If you look at what's going on here just on the round table, it's a round table because nobody sits at the head of the table. It's we the people on an equal footing, and it's a microphone that you're welcome, because the great thing about cyberspace is we can stretch this table through to infinity and beyond, and we can fit everyone around this table. This is your platform. It's your place to go out there and tell the world what's on your heart. Gregory just came on here and sung a beautiful rendition of a song that he wrote. And I was taken aback. I'm humbled, I'm honored that he took his time out of his life to put that love on the table for all the world to share. That's what we do here. That's what Patty Walking Turtle does over there at TCT Radio. These changing times, I want you to check it out if you get an opportunity. Jump over there. Go to the superchat.html. They've got a chat room right there. You can jump in there and say hi to all their people. And they, right off to the right of that, there's a link. You can go listen in on their radio show. You know, Shazoo's Radio, we got other people's players on our radio show, because if you're not getting what you need from our radio show, they got what you need over there. And what I mean by that doesn't mean they got ideas, they got love, they got things to share with you for health and benefits and everything that you can imagine. It's we the people exercising the power of the spoken word, the power of our actions, the power of the pen. Man, I can't tell you. Every time somebody comes on board, the joy in my heart is just overwhelming, because now I know that there's another individual out there that's going to be throwing a positive pebble into the pond. That's how we get things changed. It's not impossible unless you choose to make it impossible. I say things like that I believe in the dream, and that I believe that we literally have the power to create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, with all the gifts that we've been given by nature. However you believe we got here, you can't deny that looking around us, the land is vast, the resources are vast, and if we take care of our nature, our world, our earth, then our earth will take care of us. If we take care of one another, there will be no starving people in the world. There will be no sick people in the world. There will be no homeless. There will be no wars. There's no need for it. And I'm not going to let the word greed be a stumbling block to give up that dream. I'm just not going to do it. And if people say it's impossible, I will try harder because they said it was impossible. The last person in this world that you ever want to tell anybody that it's not possible.
What you're saying is, if somebody says it's impossible, old King Shazoo's going to say challenging stuff.
That's right. I'll try it. I'll keep trying. I'm going to keep on trying. If a man like Gregory can think up some words in his heart and his mind, and he can come on here and have the guts and the honor and the glory to sing that out to the world and touch somebody's heart. He touched my heart. I can't speak for none of y'all, but he touched my heart. Jermaine said something wonderful and profound in that chat room and said that I inspired him and he met a lot of good people because of me. That touched my heart. I am so humbled, so honored to be in the presence of you people. That it's beyond words.
It boggles the mind.
This is what I'm talking about. This time, this election cycle, regardless of what you think of the candidate that was selected or elected or however, whatever you want to think about a deal, you can't deny that the people of the world stood up in such a mass that they slapped the face of the mainstream media, they slapped the face of the Senate and the Congress and the alphabet soups of the world. They slapped the beast system so hard that the wake-up call has begun. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. I hope you understand how powerful that is as to testifying towards what we the people could accomplish. We've never, on none of these radio networks, we've never proposed all of us coming under one world religion or one world government or one world ideology. We propose that we as humans come together as one for the common cause of all. You understand what I'm saying? We're not trying to take over the world. We're trying to fix it. And the only way to fix it is to keep sending them positive pebbles out in the face of adversity over and over and over and over again. That's why I never subscribe to when people tell me all we do is talk here on Shaziz Radio. The power of the spoken word, you have the power to literally lift somebody to the highest parts of heaven or bring them down to the lowest depths of hell. Gregory Scott Busby just put a little bit of joy in my heart because he shared something that, you know, was special to him and put a message out here on the round table, not just for me to enjoy, but for the world as a whole. This is the same kind of stuff that Patty does over there at TCT Radio. Pat, are you on here yet? She might have her mic muted and might not be there yet. She hadn't...
Yes, I am there.
There you are. Well,
yeah, I'm just gonna let you know. My house is very active, so there's a puppy in the background that might be crying, and then I have Mark right next door that might be making noise. So just wanna let you guys know.
Well, it's fine. You know what? There's life going on around you, and we'll still hear your message. That's all that matters. You know.
Well, it's really good to be here, Shaz. It really is. And you know, I just want to add that I have had the honor to meet so many people who have one agenda, and that is to bring peace and love to everyone. There's no separation of race, religion, state, politics, whatever you want. The people of Shaziz Radio, the people of TCT, the people of United We Strike, they have no borders, you know, no ideology other than there are things that we need to do, and they can only be done if we do them together. And there are things that are important in life, and there are things that we can deal with at a much later date. You know, I'm not saying that everybody has to think the same, that everybody has to feel the same. Do you hear the puppy in the background?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
He's all right. Keep on going. You're doing great.
Well, what it's all about, what we are here for is a message. What we are here for is to build a future. And that's where our vision is. That's where our goals are set. And it doesn't matter. Anything on the outside of that is just fluff, right? We don't need to deal with that. What we have is a goal that all of us can agree on. We all have a desire to live in peace, you know? I'm going to go ahead and see if we can get a hold of the puppy and see what the problem is.
But, all right, well...
Yeah, it's good to be here, Shaz. Wonderful that I can be... I'm so honored to be on the round table.
Well, I'll tell you, lady, I'm honored that you take your time to come join with us on the round table. That's awesome. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how awesome it is. You know, I get choked up a lot because I got a heart, man. I got a heart so big I don't know what to do with half the time. But, you know, if you look out there at this world, no matter how bad things may appear, you walk around long enough, you'll notice that there's a majority of people who want exactly what we're talking about. They don't want to go over and have a war with another nation. They don't want to hurt others or tear families apart. They want to bring about the same kind of peace, hope, and love that we're all talking about. And so the power of the spoken word means that we can actually put that bug in their ear to say, hey, look over here. See this table? Come over here and join us in because we're on your side. We're not asking you for anything that you aren't willing to share with the world. We're not asking you to do anything that we wouldn't be willing to do for you. And it's something as simple as sharing a song like Gregory did, or sharing the story like Muddy did, or sharing some knowledge like Thomas did, or sharing some words, some profound words of wisdom like Patty did. Nobody at this table is better than anybody, just like nobody out there in the world is better than anybody. There are no kings and queens here. There's just we the people, the humans like Gregory spoke of. And I honestly believe that if you took all these pieces of the puzzle, all these talents and skills, and Buddy and I would design the house, and others would build the house, and Thomas would show us the right materials to use, and Patty would keep everybody happy, and talking about love and everything, and doggone it, Greg would be singing the song. And so we'd have food, we'd have things getting accomplished, we'd have the world just the way we needed it. You know, in the old days there was this thing they called a barn raising out in the farming communities, that if a farmer had the misfortune of his barn burning down, the neighborhood and the community would come together. They'd bring hammers and nails and food and workers, and they would rebuild a barn right there for them. Because they knew that someday that might be their barn. You know, and by them helping out their fellow brothers and sisters out there, they were able to make their community stronger and better for it. I moved into this community out here where I live in Kingsville, Missouri. And I can't even begin to tell you, coming from where I came from to where I ended up, what it felt like the first day that I heard a truck pull up out in front of my house, and I went to see who was here. And as I got to the front door, I saw the truck driving away. But at the footstep of the door, there was a huge basket of food and fruit. And it came on a holiday when my family was truly in need, from people that didn't even know me whatsoever. They just knew that I moved into the community and they wanted to welcome my family. From that point on, I knew what kind of town I lived in. And I knew that if there was anything that I could do to keep that same feeling going, I was going to do it.
That's what I was talking about. That's being rich. I guess maybe that's why they call it Kingsville.
Yeah. So King Shaziz the Terrible lives in the kingdom of Kingsville, where everybody's equal and they all care about each other as if they were family. My neighbors would give
us... Well, we all are family, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we are, Patty. We are. And I think with the power of the spoken word, you and I and all these folks here at the Knights of the Round Table, we're going to keep that message rolling. We're going to keep throwing positive pebbles in the pond and boulders if necessary.
Well, you know, I think we just need to remind people, don't we? Because in today's society, there's no room for that. People, they live in fear. They live in fear of how they will make it to the next day, how they'll take care of their children. There's so many things that take the people away from themselves. We forget sometimes. We get caught up. And we forget that our neighbor is actually part of us, part of our community. And the only strength that a community actually has, it is in its people. It's not in the infrastructure, the roads, the water system, the sewage system. That doesn't have anything to do with a strong community. What a strong community is people that can see each other and see the love and see the connection that we all share. There's only one creation, one creator, and we all come from that. You know, you can't get any more related than that. No matter where you are, no matter what color, no matter what country, If you live under a rock, you're still related to every living thing on this planet. We are so intricately related that we all share the same genes, the same molecules, all the way down to the subatomic level. You know, we are related. You can't deny that. But when we get so caught up in life that we're worried about how am I going to pay the bills, how am I going to make the mortgage, we might walk out on a day and not notice that our neighbor is in need. We might walk right past them because our own needs are in the forefront of our minds. But what we do when we do this, when we forget that there are other people in our community, when we forget that we have other relations, then we suffer as well, because there is nothing that we do that is not passed forward in one way or another, in energy, in frequency, in love. And if we forget to love, that's our detriment. That means that we are running on empty, so to speak. The way we recharge ourselves is by connecting with other people, by sharing the love, by sharing the heart center of who and where we come from. That's our strengths. You know, there are people, Chaz, to me you're brilliant. You know, you and Muddy and you guys, what you do with trying to solve these problems that we have of energy. To me, that's I look at you guys and I think, you know, where would we be without you? But even the elder who sits on their porch in their rocker and watches the world go by every day, they have gifts that are so immense. They have knowledge, they have wisdom that you cannot get from a book. You cannot get from your own life experience, because you haven't walked that walk. We have to remember that we're all teachers, we're all students, we're all related. If we can do that, just think, if we can have a community that does not see color, that does not see race, that does not see religion, that does not see political, that does not see any of these things, if we come together in simple love and compassion and empathy and responsibility, you know, just think what we can build, Chaz. Look what you've done. Look what money's done. Look what so many people have contributed, you know, globally. Chaz, we reach people on the other side of the earth. And they're our brothers and our sisters, and we feel so close to them, because we share the very basics of who we are and where we come from. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And nothing can overshadow that. Nothing can stand against that. That is our true power. The ability that we have to love, that's where the power is. Just saying.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'll tell you, you know, I see what's going on here, and you guys see what's going on here, and I'm hoping that other people out there could, just for a brief instant, see through the eyes of what we see, of the possibilities that could actually come about by bringing this love to the table. You're right, the community is only as powerful as the people. You know, we got children we got to protect. We got each other that we got to protect. You've always got to be looking out to try to keep everyone safe and provided for. But there is no other divine purpose other than to be a servant to your fellow brothers and sisters. There is nothing better than to help somebody beside yourself. Because in the process of helping them, you're helping yourself. Without even realizing it, we're all standing in the same boat. And when you got folks over there poking holes in the boat, you got folks coming around saying, you know, please don't do that. I'm trying to patch this up over here, you know. And so we're all in the same boat. Ain't none of us going anywhere, you know, until whatever happens, happens, or we build our spaceships and boldly go where no man has gone before, like the movies or whatever. Look, the reality of us sitting here on this beautiful earth, you know, the amazing part of this whole entire thing is if you could only see what you have before you, and if you only could see the potential of what humanity could literally accomplish. You know, there's folks out there that say, we're going to destroy it all. We're going to... It's just... there's no hope. Humanity's done. We need to prove them wrong. We need to open up our hearts and our minds and our talents and our skills, and we need to prove them wrong. That's what we're trying to do here at Shazia's Radio, TCT Radio, and all the other affiliated networks. We're trying to prove them wrong. You know, in my book of faith, you know, it says that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night, okay? Well, look, we don't know when the end of time is going to be. We got signs and wonders and clues and whatever, but we don't know. In the meantime, I have to live here. My children have to live here. Your children have to live here. And if we can make this at the very least less painful for anyone, if we can shelter the homeless, if I can shelter somebody in my neighborhood and you can shelter somebody in your neighborhood, and if you see somebody hungry over on your side of the planet, you feed them, and I do the same over here, this domino just keeps on tipping and tipping and tipping until finally all those positive pebbles that we throw into the pond that will eventually affect all of humanity, all of life itself. I'm talking about the birds, the bees, the animals, the air we breathe, everything. It's all connected. And if you think it's impossible, and if you're willing to just lay down and give up, and you have no place to complain about the state of the world that we live in. But if you got something in your heart that's telling you, I need to make something better for this world, then you're at the right place. You're on the Knights of the Round Table. You're on These Changing Times Radio. You're on one of the affiliated networks out there. You're in the chat room and you're putting out links out there. You're doing it because in the depths of your soul and your heart, something's telling you it's time to fix this mess. It's time to fix it and prove to all those naysayers out there the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, the power of your love. I'm going to keep shouting.
Yeah, think about this stuff. You know, here in Kansas where I live, we have a lot of tornadoes. We had one that came through several years ago that completely wiped out a town, wiped it all out. And the people from all over, from as far away as Florida, as far away as Arizona, up north, they packed their goods in their cars. They got in there with their tools, whatever they had, skill saws, hammers, nails, whatever they had, and they found their way to Greensburg, Kansas. And the people, they didn't have to make the connection, it was there. They came together and they worked together for 6 months. People stayed here in Kansas helping the people of Greensburg, Kansas, people they'd never met before. They didn't know about their backgrounds, about any of their social standings or anything like this. None of those questions were asked. Nobody cared. And they all came together in love, and they created the most beautiful town. It's a green town. You know, the name of the town was Greensburg. But the people came together and they said, we can make a better way. We can rebuild your town and give to you the security of renewable energy. We can help you build your houses with non-toxic materials. We can help you resupply your farm equipment so that you can go back to doing what it is you do. And they did it all without asking for anything. They didn't come here thinking that, oh, I'm going to get rich. Nobody made money. There were construction companies that offered their help freely. This is who we are. And, you know, it takes a disaster to make us realize that there is nothing between us but love. It's there, Shaz. It's not far away. We have that within each and every one of us, and we're willing to pull it out.
Yeah.
We just have to figure out how to get this into everyday life, how to create a world where people feel that they can give freely and receive freely. You know, that's what it's all about. We are the greatest gift to each other when we come together, and we come together in love. No expectations of what's in it for me or what's in it for you or what are you going to take from me. Simply coming together and saying, here I am. What do you need? I will help. I mean, that's, you know, that's humbling, Shaz. It shows me that the love is not gone.
That's
the
right.
The power is there.
That's why I always tell all you wonderful people that I am not only honored, I am humbled by the fact that you take time out of your life to share with me. You know, and that story that you told about the place in Kansas, Greenville, I was watching that like a movie as people were coming from, you know, other states and all over to converge in there to do something so wonderful, so profound. It's a modern day barn raising. When somebody had the misfortune of losing their barn or their town or their home, there were others out there. That's why I keep telling everybody, if you look out there are people like you so vast out there. Just in America alone, there's over 300 million people out there. And I'm going to stick out there and say, I believe the majority of those are good-hearted souls that want the same exact thing that all of us want. And if they were in need, they would hope that you would love them enough to come help them out as well. You know,
well, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I lived in Hampton, Virginia, when Hurricane Isabel came through. I mean, it wiped a lot out. I mean, it didn't take all the homes and stuff. But here's a town with a bunch of gangster wannabes, crack alleys, and hookers on the corners, and with some of those, a lot of those, hopped off the street and the college is a way out. But in order to get to our house when we came back from Tennessee, what would normally take about 3 minutes from the main street there took like 30 minutes to find a way through that Minotaur's maze of fallen trees and looking at the damage and going, oh my goodness. We were kind of glad that we weren't here, but I tell you what, there were some cell phones up and people were calling for taxis. That's all they said, not till we can get gas. But I heard generators, and when the generators walked in, I'm telling you, it was so peaceful, quiet. The street lights weren't there. You could see the stars. You could feel, even though the people aren't right in front of you, you could feel the people around you and the good heartedness. I mean, we're talking about, like I was saying, crackheads and gangsters, gangster wannabes and stuff like that. These people are all at the beach, along with farm precious produce that they put out there, barbecuing, giving, doing goodwill, helping each other, helping the tax, you know, rebuild what was there. It's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing.
And they were doing it in
the only thing I noticed better was I was invited to several powwows for the duration, waking up in the morning listening to the pipes during the clearing in the morning. Just wake up listening to that beautiful sound echoing off of all the trees, and it just fills you inside, makes you feel good. I felt that feeling in that city like town, and watching all the people, there was no stress, you know, there wasn't no crime going on then. You figured people would be looting and doing what they could, you know. No, no. So it kind of looked like when the crap hits, when the poo-poo hits the fan, am I going to see a bunch of zombie apocalypse crap and people, you know, in search of food and with guns and all that? I'm sure there might be a few, but you know what? I think the good-hearted people out here, I think it's going to be more peaceful than you think. They want to train your mind with the media that it's going to be a living hell out here. I don't think it's going to be.
But you know something, buddy? There's something that I believe that is built so deep inside of our being that we do these things. We come together in times of need. I stood at many family funerals, and I've spoken to my entire family, and I said it seems to be a shame that it takes a tragedy like this to bring us all together.
And it just wakes you up. It just wakes you up, and you know what? As far as gangs go, it doesn't matter the colors. They come together.
I think Patty was trying to say something in there, Muddy.
By all means.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, Muddy, what you just told about the story, and we have others, Katrina, all of these things. You notice, too, when these people come together, they're not solemn. They're not down in the dumps. Oops, there we go. That's the big dog. But they come together in joy. They laugh with each other. They sing songs. They hug each other. When they come together in these situations, you see the love pouring out. There's no wall between them and the next person. This is beautiful. It really is. And we are in a disaster right now. I mean, we're looking at a global disaster that is ongoing. And I have seen the people coming together and helping. Let's rebuild. Let's redo it. Let's rethink this. Let's find the solutions and start implementing them. And, you know, Shaz, you know, Muddy, you know, and I'm sure the panel and the listeners know that we do this for one reason and one reason only. There's no other reason that you're on the radio, Shaz, that the people are listening, that we're doing what we're doing. We're doing it because we have a desire for a better way. We have a desire for a future that holds promise for our children. This is why we're doing this. There's nothing else in the way of that. I mean, none of us, we're not making big bucks, you know?
Yeah.
We're doing this. This is at cost to us that we come out here and do this. But, Shaz, you could not stop what you're doing, could you?
No.
Even if you wanted to, that drive is so strong to make a better world that it supersedes all others. You have this need to put the truth out there, the need to bring people together, to give them the good news, because that's what we're doing here. We're bringing the news that is healing. We're bringing the news that is reaching the hearts of the people. This is power beyond power.
And my promise, my promise to the world out there, if you really want to help me and Patty and Raymond and Muddy and Greg and Tom and everybody else in the chat room, if you want to help me out, my promise to you is we're going to spend all of our energy using our gifts of our brains and our knowledge and our research to try to make things better in a mechanical sense, while you go out there and spread the love and the hope and the message to everybody else out there. We're gonna keep working. Raymond and Thomas and I have been working behind the scenes on projects and gathering resources together and trying to bring other brilliant minds to the table. Gregory, you keep on singing to the world. We'll keep on working on what we're working on. You people out there listening, keep spreading the love. Keep helping your communities. Keep trying to do whatever to make your the environment around you cleaner or better for everybody else. Because every bit of what we're doing right here, I told a story a long time ago about, you know, an old junk car, this old 1957 Chevy Nomad. It's a rare car. It's like a unicorn out there in the car world. This car, you know, over the years will get a little rusty and a little dusty and you know, banged up. But if a person really focused their attention and their talents to taking and gradually putting that thing back together and restoring it back to its original beauty, you could imagine the looks on everybody else's face. How did you do that, you know? How did you make that thing look so nice? I mean, you just preserved something so wonderful for the future generations. That's what we're talking about. Take this earth that however long you believe it's been here, take it, polish it up, make it better for everybody else out there. In the same sense, you're going to make it better for yourself. There's nothing more satisfying than to step back and after you've done some sort of hard labor in your yard, whether it be gardening or, you know, a little grass clipping or tree trimming or whatever to make your place, nothing more satisfying than to step back and look at the work that you was able to accomplish when you set your mind to it. Just imagine what this world could look like. If you could visualize what this world was like right straight off the store shelf, I mean, brand new. Go out there and look at some of the semi-precious stones, the little beautiful rocks that over the years have been covered up with dirt. And you put them in a little rock tumbler and they'll polish up and it just looks beautiful. Imagine what this earth looked like then and see if we can restore it back to that now. Fresh water for everybody. Good healthy food for everybody. Enough love to pour out of enough 9 billion hearts on this planet to literally make it... A heaven on earth, folks. A utopia. The impossible dream to some. The goal for people like us. If we reach for the stars and we only grab the top of the mountain, then we've gotten pretty far as far as I'm concerned. You guys understand what I mean there?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to grasp for the highest, most beautiful star. That's my goal. I'm going to shoot for the heaven on earth, the utopia. If all I can do is make life better for everybody out there, myself included, my family, then I think I took a pretty good step forward that if that motion was to keep moving into the future someday here on this planet, the words like that Martin Luther King spoke, that he had a dream that all men are created equal and there is no color, there's no racial boundaries, no fight, no feuding, no fussing, and so on. Guys like Tesla that believed that if they could bring free energy to the world, that there wouldn't be no reason to fight over resources, or that inventors of huge farm machines knew that they could make these machines and be able to raise more crops and feed more people. There have been throughout the history of time those who've done terrible deeds, and there have been throughout the history of time that those who tried to counteract the terrible deeds, like inventing things like Stan Meyer driving around in 79 in a dune buggy that ran on water. The earth is 3/4 covered in water. You'd never run out of fuel. We can, we have the knowledge to literally work in perfect harmony with nature. If you make nature smile, you're going to benefit in such a profound way, so beyond human words that you can possibly imagine. If you make nature frown, you see what you see today. You see fish floating up out of the water. You see birds falling out of the sky. You see crud floating down the streams. And when your leadership is telling you, oh, don't worry, just wait for it to float by and then you can start drinking it again. You see the difference between what we're trying to do as opposed to what our supposed leaders, who we've allowed for generations to run amok and do people wrong,
are trying to do?
After all the industry is taken down and no cars are running and all that stuff and nothing's polluting, you mean the water will actually come down fresh from the mountains and wash it all away?
You know, this Earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's self-regenerating. When we die and we go back into the dirt, we get recycled into the system. The water, the fish, everything out there. We are part of, you know, it says in my book that we were made of dust, of clay, pulled from the earth. And whatever view vision or whatever belief that you subscribe in, none of us can deny that when we die, you know, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and so on, whatever. We get recycled into the earth. The earth takes all the materials that are created by man, put together. I take this material, I put it with that, I make this chemical here. You know, when I stop using it, nature takes it back. If I stop mowing my lawn a year from now, I'm sitting in the middle of the jungle, because nature will always take back what you do not use and recycle it back into the system. The problem in our local communities and our townships is that we're trashing it at such a terrible rate that nature has to have time to clean it back up. There's a video out there called 500 Years After Man. 500 years after man's completely off the planet, you can't even tell that man was even there, with the exception of maybe some structures like the pyramid that's still around, you know, because of the way that they was built out of local materials or whatever. The point is this, that if we start taking care of our earth in a respectful manner, then eventually the earth can catch back up to where it was before we made a mess out of it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an impossibility. You can see it on a local scale. There's a dump. It used to be a really stinky old garbage dump that's not far from where I'm at. They figured out a way to not only take all the garbage coming from the city, but to recycle that garbage and to make money off of that garbage. And if you look at this dump, you would swear up and down it was a park. It's beautiful. It's a dump, and it's beautiful. Even the buildings that they put there to recycle all the garbage that comes through that building, it's beautiful. And they're making a lot of money off of your trash. You understand how profound that is? And this isn't out of the realm of all the possibilities of the machinery and the equipment and the knowledge that we have access to. We can do this thing. If we don't know when the end of the world is, then we should be spending as much time as we can trying to patch up the boat that we're all floating on and steer it away from the iceberg that we're heading to. In my mind, it's common sense. In other people's mind, it's like, oh, well, you know, the big rock is coming from space. Ain't nothing we can do about it. We're all going to die.
Well, you know, we got this choice always with us. You know, we can live in fear, or we can live in the knowledge and knowing that if we are walking in honor, if we are giving back, if we are doing what it is within our hearts that brings joy and healing, there is so much power in prayer alone, less with our actions. If we know that we can do this, we should be doing it. No matter what you think is waiting for you after this life, what's important is the walk that you walked. So it doesn't matter what the people say, if a rock is coming to smash into the earth, if the powers that be, these thugs, these controllers, if they are doing everything they can to take us down, that doesn't matter. What matters is your walk, because that's what you take with you. And it is much better to know that I did everything that I could do, because that's enough. It is enough for each and every one of us to do everything that we can to bring love and joy and peace to those around us. That's where we need to be, not thinking of the future. When is the Creator coming? When is the rock going to hit? when are the controllers going to tighten the noose? None of that matters if you don't have the honor and the love and the truth in your heart. That's where we need to be. Don't worry about the world in the way that it is, because your walk will change it.
That's right.
One way or the other.
There's a short little phrase out there, lead by example, you know? And I think that's what we do here. We got joined by Barry. How you doing, Barry? You like get here at the last moment? The party's been going on. You got Baker hours?
No, I slept in again.
Damn. Well, you're always welcome, even at the last minute, brother.
Well, this is the last minute, isn't it?
Yeah. We're like, we got minutes left.
My favorite people are in here. Oh, well, I slept in, guys. What can I say?
Well, we're out here trying to spread the positive message to the world that we can all do this thing, you know. And if it's all set down to where, you know, we're going to fail, like Patty said, the walk that we take, the journey that we're on, you know, we may cross paths once in a while, or we may be on the same hard journey together. But when we get to the other side, all that we've done in our life is what we'll carry with us wherever we're going after this point. And I, for one, I look back on my life and I've seen things in my life that I regret or shouldn't have said or done or whatever. And I realized at some point in my life, I come to a maturity that I understood that I wasn't the most important person on this planet. And I was just one of so many stories out there. So many, if you go, tried it sometime. I did this one day. I was driving down a road in the country, and I seen all these old houses, and I just thought about the people that lived in those houses and their stories, you know, whether they were good stories or bad stories, their trials and tribulations. I thought about them. I thought about their life, and it touched my heart in a profound way, as that it made everything out there seem so insignificant. You spend your lifetime trying to build your stairway to heaven with gold, and when it all comes down to it, we all leave this planet just the way that we came into this planet. You understand what that means? There's nothing that we're going to do here that we can take anything away with exception of that path that we walked on. And the type of soul that we end up being, or person, whatever, wherever we end up, we can't take the gold and silver with us. But what we can do is we can leave something behind. If we choose to do so, we can pave those stones into the future for our children with some nifty handrails for those of them that have trouble getting around. Stones paved in gold, and handrails paved in silver, inlaid with diamonds and jewels if we chose to do so. But I think they'd be satisfied with just having a smooth path into the future. What do you guys think? I must have, like, sunk everybody's boat.
I just threw me under the bus. I wanted to say you're right. I had to like you. By the way, Patty, I really like the way you think. I do like the way you talk.
Thank you.
The only thing that is impossible is that which you choose to be impossible.
And if you change your world, then you have changed the world.
That's right. That is so right.
Love you, Barry.
I love you too, Patty, and I wish I'd got in here a little earlier. My brain ain't working yet, so I'm not going to really think too much. But, sorry I missed the call this morning. I would like to get on this one. But you're right. Well, I mean, really, what is our legacy? You know, that's really what we have to kind of reflect on. What is our legacy? What have we left behind? And really, you know, when we look at it, society as a general, we've kind of been duped and manipulated to ways to think and ways to act and ways to perform in society, when really it's irrelevant. What's important is what we leave behind.
Yep, you know, on the part about being duped, now that we all recognize the fact that we've been duped, if you look out there in the world, it's coming around that the people are finally standing up, and it, maybe they're all getting out of bed slowly and finally getting around to getting their cups of coffee, and maybe they're going to join us at the table on the next nights of the round table. And I, like I said, cyberspace is huge. We got a pretty good sized table right here today. We got Buddy and Raymond and Patty and Thomas and Gregory and Barry. And, you know, we could fit a whole lot more people around this table. This is your table. It's your microphone. You know, this is the, what we do this for is so that someday people can look back at our legacy and say, you know what, that Knights of the Round Table folks back there, they started up pretty decent idea, and now look, we're benefiting here, you know. And, or somebody else can build their own Knights of the Round Table, and they can keep on doing what we're doing and just make it grow. I'd like to see a youth Knights of the Round Table. I'd like to hear what the youngsters of the world have to think. I'd like to hear if we've touched their hearts and gave them inspiration to, you know, start off trying to do their version of making the world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. That's all we ask for. We're not asking for anything that we're not willing to give. We're not asking for you to try to save the world by yourself, but we are asking that everybody out there come together and use everything that they got to literally bring about as close to that heaven on earth or utopia, so to speak, as we possibly can. We can do this.
Let me jump in here and add a few things. Patty, we'd like a link to These Changing Times Radio, and I thought Shaziz was actually broadcast on These Changing Times. That was before the show. You know, Charles T-Dog is on right now, the chief. Wonderful heart right there, anyway. We need the link to post him here. And also on Wednesday night, we got The Big Puzzle with Barry Prince. I'm not sure your guest's on there, unless you want to announce what you know there so far there, Barry. But
Wednesday night I have Mr. Rick Simpson joining me. Sure you're all familiar with Rick and what he's done, so I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Great. Well, that'll be at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. We debuted last week and had a wonderful show, and looking for even better this week. It was great. We had one wall after another fight us. Two times I dropped the ball, and then Barry got sick. And last week we realized that Barry didn't get a word in edgewise on both guests. Show before, but it was a great show.
Folks, before we go up out of here and make a quick round around the table, because we are running really short on time, I wanted to point out that These Changing Times has a chat room on the superchat.html. There's also a link to where you can listen in on their show. If you don't like the message that you're hearing on one radio player, just reach down there and click on the sign that says click here to listen to These Changing Times. There's three chat rooms on one page, so you can look in and say hi to everybody out there. And we'll add more chat rooms if necessary. You know, like I said, there's plenty of room in cyberspace, and we can spread the table out and put as many chairs as necessary in there. So before we leave up out of here, has anybody got any last words? Go around the table. What about you, Barry?
Well, like I said, I'm still kind of waking up here. Shaziz, my brain ain't functioning 100% yet. You know what? Really, when we sit back and look at what kind of an allegory we find ourselves in today, the world's kind of unidentical right now. We see chaos in every direction. We see countries ready to go to war. We see our economies ready to collapse. And all I can say to people is when the poop does hit the fan, which I believe it's going to, keep your head straight and don't fall for the traps they're going to lay down for it, because they are going to try and trap society. And just be aware of that, guys.
Yeah, we got
that time is coming very, very soon, I believe.
We got a potential hazard coming down the road, but let's not give up. Let's not let them be stumbling blocks to push us out of here. We're not going to give up until it's over. What about you, Gregory? That was a beautiful song that you shared with everybody. You got any last words you want to say on here?
I'd just like to say that everything that we've learned from nature and each other. And the system has been trying to make us disrespect both. We need to actually be the example, respect nature and our Mother Earth and the love between us all, and respect each other. And from that point, we'll be able to grow.
I agree.
Thank you.
What about you, Thomas?
Well, we got plenty of new people, so I'm going to let them go ahead and have their time.
Okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm thinking about when the boo-boo hits the fan. My dream would be that the awakening that everybody talks about will be that the ones that want to go, that stumble to the bottom of the mountain and cry for the mountains to fall on them, the ones that are trying to enslave us will be the ones who awaken, that maybe it's just not going to be chaos. Maybe the love of the people, like after a hurricane or after a tornado, that the love takes over, and now that there's nothing polluting, maybe the waters will clear up, and they'll find out we're in better hands than we were before, now that we're out of their hands. And maybe the mountains will fall upon. Maybe that's the great enlightening. I sure hope something like that beautiful happens.
Well, I'm right there with you,
brother. One of you. I love you. Be well and safe.
What about you, Raymond?
Well, the only thing I can think at this point to sum up what I've heard and thinking is I have been accused many times in my life of every time life hands me lemonade, Well, if the person does it, man, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make fertilizer.
Yep, that's a good plan. That's part of what I was getting ready to say. But what about you, Patty?
Well, I think what I want to say is this is the time to turn toward each other, not turn away. And there's nothing that you need. You don't need to go out and find what you need. It's already within you. Your creator. If you're ever in doubt of what to do, then turn to your creator, because the words that he has given you, the love that he has put within you, that is where you need to turn. And, you know, above all else, live, love, laugh, and stand strong. Thank you, Shaziz, for having me on.
Wonderful words, and thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure, as usual. And folks, my last bit of advice to you, and I'm going to tell you how when the stuff hits the fan, so to speak, I'm going to kind of do kind of like what Muddy said. I'm going to be that last guy out there shouting, "Can't we all just get along?" I'm going to pick up a broom and a dustpan, and I'm going to try to clean up as much as I can, and I'm going to keep on and keep on trying until I haven't got another breath in my body or another bit of energy to move anything. And I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to hold on to this beauty, this gift, as long as I possibly can, and try to make this world a better place. I'm not going to go down with a whimper. I'm gonna go down trying to do the best I can to make it as least painful to everyone around me as physically possible. I do believe in the dream, and I believe that if at the last moment we could all snap just like that and realize what we could have been doing all along, that maybe we could avert catastrophe. Now, maybe that's not the way the story is going to play out, but that's what's in my heart, that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop until I ain't got no more to give. And I can't do any more than that. But I do promise you this, as long as I have the opportunity to shout this out on the radio show, there ain't going to be no naysayers that tell me I'm doing it all for nothing. There ain't going to be no people to tell me that it's all hopeless. All hope is not lost until we are finally done, all of us, together as a family. That's the best I got. I don't know what else to say. Peace and love to everybody.
Peace and love.
You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry! What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to board a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more, we're table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet hunting able. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.